This message is part of the educational ministry of Columbia International University. We've been preparing world Christians to know Him and to make Him known since 1923.
Let's start with the good news and the bad news again. The good news is that the percentage of people in the entire world who claim to be personal followers of Jesus Christ has grown from 3% of the total world population to over 12% of the total world population in my lifetime. In 1945, the year that I was born, there were 80 million true believers in Jesus Christ in the entire world. Today, in the year 2011, there are over 800 million believers, and the number continues to grow, and the percentage continues to grow. We are living in the most unprecedented time of spiritual harvesting the world has ever known. Seven students from this school went with two of us from the faculty to Cape Town, South Africa, where we met with 4,000 church leaders from 200 countries around the world, and we heard and saw evidence of this good news. We have lots to be thankful for. Now the bad news. The bad news is that 9 out of every 10 people living in the world today are lost and outside of personal faith in Jesus Christ, and some of them are within walking distance of this school. 2 out of every 3 people living in the world today not only are lost, but have never once heard a clear explanation of the gospel. No one has ever told them how they can be saved through personal faith in Jesus Christ. And 1 out of every 3 people living in the world today not only is lost, not only has never once heard a clear explanation of the gospel, but 1 out of every 3 people living in the world today has no one living near him or her who can tell them about Jesus, even if they want to hear. That's the bad news. That's what we're talking about here at World Christian Week this week. Now, if you have your World Christian Week folder, will you take it out, please? And I want you to look at the back page. And there's a map on the back page. And I would like you to be praying this week. Lord, turn the red to green and show me my part in making that happen. Turn the red to green and show me my part in making that happen. The theme for our World Christian Week is God's plan, your part. Reaching the unreached and engaging the unengaged. Months ago, I met with the student committee responsible for this conference, and I asked them what they hoped to accomplish through this conference this week. And here's what they said: that all CIU students will be excited about God's mission to reach all nations and will seek to understand how they, each one, can be involved in that as prayers, as givers, as senders, as goers, as mobilizers. Now look in the last page of your program again, if you would. Not the back cover, but the last page, and it's entitled Further Steps. And as a tangible act of commitment to be involved in God's mission to reach all nations, we're going to give you an opportunity to respond to what God may be saying to you this week. And there is a little card there, a little page, and we're going to ask you to tear that off. Nobody has to do this. This will just be totally voluntary. But just look at the bottom of the page. But the top and the bottom are the same. You keep the top. You turn the bottom in. I plan to commit myself to pray daily for one of the unreached resistance countries where there are currently no CIU alumni serving, or for another unreached people group. The country or people group I will be praying for is, and just write that in there. Then I commit myself to become more involved in sharing my faith with lost people here and now, personally and or through a local church or outreach ministry. And lastly, I commit myself to be vocationally involved in reaching an unreached country or people group, whether as a ministering professional or as a professional ministry. And we're going to be hearing more this week about all the different ways that we can be involved in Great Commission service. So just be thinking about that, praying about that, and we're going to give you opportunity later this week to just give us some sort of indication of where you are in this whole process. So what are we saying by having World Christian Week at CIU? We're saying that we believe that Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation for the whole world, and that we want to see every man, woman, boy, or girl living anywhere in the world to have the opportunity to hear the gospel clearly explained and respond to it. This is not our idea. This is God's idea. This is not our plan. This is God's plan. So I want you to look in your Bibles at John 15, 16. John 15, 16. Approximately 30 years ago, the 200th translation of the Bible in the English language came off the press. And when it did, it was discovered that they had mistranslated John 15, 16. Here's how they translated it. "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name." Do you see what's wrong with that verse? Do you see? Something's missing. What is missing in this verse? It was not intentional, by the way, but they left something out. They left out the words "to go." So here's the way it should have been translated. "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name." Interestingly, I was fascinated by what Uncle Cam Townsend, who's the founder of Wycliffe Bible Translators, two of his daughters came here to CIU, what he said about this mistranslation of this 200th translation of the English Bible. Here's what he said. He said, "People were shocked to discover that the words 'to go' were left out of John 15, 16. But I was shocked that they were shocked, because in reality, most of them have left 'to go' out of that verse all their lives." That's interesting. Now, often when I challenge people to consider giving their lives to be involved in reaching the unreached, some of them say this to me, "Well, God never called me to go." And my response to that is, well, in that sense, God never called me to go either. I just read my Bible. One of my favorite books in my library was written by a great woman Bible teacher by the name of Dr. Henrietta Mears. It's entitled What the Bible Is All About. And in that book, she makes a profound statement. Here's what she says. "The Bible does not talk about hundreds of different things." Now, I didn't believe that, especially when it came time for Bible exam. But the Bible doesn't talk about hundreds of different things. Then she went on to say this. "The Bible talks about one thing in hundreds of different ways." That is a profound statement. So I want to talk to you about the one thing that the Bible talks about. Let's just imagine that you're a budding author and a publisher discovers you and they say, we'd like to give you advance royalties and sign a contract with you, and we want you to write a book on the history of the ancient world. Well, that's a pretty big assignment, but you say, I'm a Christian and I believe the Bible is the word of God and everything it says is true, and if there's ever a book that goes back to the beginning, it's the Bible, so I'll just get my Bible out and I'll study it carefully and I'll write my book about the history of the ancient world. And you start to study your Bible and you say, well, there's just one thing wrong. There's huge gaps of human history that the Bible tells us nothing about. You can't write an exhaustive history of the world using the Bible alone as your textbook. Do you know why? Because that's not what the Bible was written about. The Bible was written about one thing, and that's why what is there, and that's why what is not there. Well, anyway, you write your book. It's a bestseller. The publisher comes back, says, "We want you to write another book. We'd like you to write a book about the history of the nation of Israel." You say, well, that sounds interesting. Yes, I'll accept that. So you accept the contract and you say, I'm a Christian. I believe the Bible is the word of God. Everything it says is true. And if there's ever a book that talks about Israel, it's the Bible. So I'll just study my Bible and write my book. And you start going through the Old Testament about Israel and even into the New Testament, you find out there's huge gaps in Israel's history that the Bible tells us nothing about. Do you know why? Because the Bible wasn't written to give us the history of the nation of Israel. The Bible was written to tell us about one thing. That's why what's there is there and what's there is not there. Anyway, you write your book and it's a bestseller. You're getting ready to retire. They come to you and they say, would you just write one more book before you retire? You say, what's that? And they say, we'd like you to write a book on the earthly biography of the Lord Jesus. And you say, well, even though lots of people have done that, I'd love to get paid to do that, so I'll do it. And so you accept the contract and you say, this time it'll really be easy because I've got four inspired accounts to look at to write my book. And so you start reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You say, wait a minute, there's just something. I can't write the earthly biography of the Lord Jesus using these as my source. Why? Well, 30 years are missing. I mean, we know just enough to know that Jesus was sinlessly born. One incident when he was 12 in the temple, and then it doesn't start until he's 30, and then it just gives us the last 3 years of his life. And in fact, the bulk of those four books are not even written about the last 3 years. They're written about the last days of the last year, his passion, his death, his resurrection, his post-resurrection appearances, his instructions to us before he went back to heaven. Do you know why? Because the Bible wasn't written to give us the exhaustive biography of the Lord Jesus. The Bible was written to give us one thing, to talk about one thing, and that's why what is there is there and what is not there is not there. One Bible commentator put it this way: the silences of the Bible are just as inspired as the words. Wow. So, what's the one thing that the Bible is talking about? Well, there are two words to describe the one thing the Bible's talking about. The first word is the word redemption. Write it down. Redemption. What is redemption? This is the story of the Bible. What is redemption? All right, here it is. Redemption is God's work of bringing Jesus Christ, God the Son, to a world who needs him, period. Redemption is God's work of bringing Jesus Christ, God the Son, the virgin-born, sinless, crucified, risen Savior, Jesus Christ, God's work of bringing Jesus Christ to a world who needs him. That is the one thing that the Bible is talking about. But there's a second word that describes the one thing the Bible is talking about. Not only redemption, but missions. Oh, you say that because you were a missionary, Dr. Murray. No, I became a missionary because it's true. Missions is the one thing the Bible is talking about. Now, what do you define as missions, Dr. Murray? All right, let me give you a definition of missions. Missions is God's work of bringing Jesus Christ to a world who needs him. You say, wait a minute, I think you just told us that was the definition of another word, redemption. That's right, and I think, well, how can two different words have the same exact meaning? Well, they don't, because I hope you didn't finish writing. And if you put a period there, I hope you'll put a comma, because we have to add two more words. Missions is God's work of bringing Jesus Christ to a world who needs him through you. Now, I want you to look at this definition with me, and I want you to help me out. I want somebody to tell me here, according to this definition, just using these words as the definition, what is the mission field? Thank you. The world, all right? All right, let's go back to the definition. God's work of bringing Jesus Christ to a world who needs him through you. According to this definition, who is the missionary? You. Thank you. So, according to our definition, everyone in this room is either a missionary or a mission field. If you know Christ personally as your Savior, you are a missionary. If you don't know Christ personally as your Savior, you're a mission field. But in February 1971, my wife and I and our little baby girl went to JFK Airport in New York City, got on a big jumbo jet, and we flew to the mission field. Oh. To the post-Christian, secular country of Italy, where today barely 1% are evangelical Christians. And I found this in Operation World this morning. 1% compared to India, where it's nearly 4%, or New Guinea, where it's 25%. So, though the field is the world in the general sense of the word, the mission field in the technical sense of the word is something else. And so I want to give you my technical definition of the mission field. Any area of the world, whether defined geographically or demographically, where the majority of people live and die without having the opportunity of hearing the gospel clearly explained. And if you don't know where those people are, you need to buy this book. Every student in this school, whether you are required this book for a text, for a course or not, you need to have this book. There is no excuse for any of us to say, well, I didn't know where they were. I didn't know that they existed. It's all here, right here. Operation World, fantastic book. Any area of the world, defined geographically or demographically, where the majority of people live and die without having the opportunity to hear the gospel clearly explained. So let's go back to our definition and ask a couple questions. God's work of bringing Jesus Christ to a world who needs him through you. So here's the first question. Who is the you of the Old Testament? Israel. Israel. Did you ever ask yourself this question? Why did God choose the Jews? Answer, because they're the most spiritual people in the world. Listen to these verses. Deuteronomy 9. Understand then that it is not because of your righteousness that the Lord your God is giving you this good land to possess, for you are a stiff-necked people. The Lord did not set his affection on you and choose you because you were more numerous than other peoples, for you were the fewest of all peoples, but it was because the Lord loved you, and I might add, loved the world. Why did God choose the Jews? And why does Satan hate the Jews? He does, you know. Do you know why Satan hates the Jews? Because he's anti-Semitic. Not really. He's not anti-Semitic. He's anti-redemption. He's anti-missions. Next month, I'll be speaking at a large Chinese missions conference in London, England, and they've asked me to give a series of missions messages from the book of Esther in the Old Testament. And I'm going to do it because if there's ever a book about missions, it's Esther, where the seed of the serpent almost succeeds in destroying the seed of the woman and wiping out the nation of Israel, so that God's plan of redemption does not come to this world. It's an amazing book. And then you go from that all the way down to the time when Jesus was born. And as one Bible commentator said, when God's king came to earth, Satan's king was on the throne. And Herod the Great tried to take all the boys 2 years of age and under and destroy them because of God's plan of redemption. So the you of the Old Testament is Israel. Look what the Lord said to Abraham when he chose him to form the nation of Israel. He said, "When I will make you into a great nation, and all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you." Next question. Who is the you of the New Testament? Answer, the church. Speaking about Israel, God said to Abraham, "I will make you into a great nation." Speaking of the church, Jesus said, "I will build my church." Redemption and missions are God's work. Redemption and missions is the one thing that the Bible's talking about. Look what he says to us, his people, the church. He says, "But you are a chosen people, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." One verse that I love that brings both Israel and the church together as God's channel of redemption in the world is Galatians 3:14, when it says this, "He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the nations through Jesus Christ." What a great verse. So, God chose Israel so that through Israel, he might bring Jesus Christ to the world, not as an end in itself, but as a means to the end of bringing salvation to the world. And God chose the church so that through the church, he might bring Jesus Christ to the world. He didn't choose us as an end in itself, but as the means to the end of bringing Jesus to the whole world. And so here's my main point. God chose you so that through you, he might bring Jesus Christ to the world. Look at our verse again. "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask for." By the way, do you see the promise at the end? That promise isn't for just anybody. That promise is for going, fruit-bearing Christians. And I want to give you two examples as we close. Two examples. The first one is in Genesis 18, Sarah. Sarah. The Lord came to Abraham and Sarah and said, I want to bring Jesus Christ to the world through you. You say, did he really say that to them? He said, I'm going to make of you a great nation. Through you, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. And Paul tells us under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in Galatians chapter 3, verse 6, that the promises spoken to Abraham and his seed, the scripture does not say, and to seeds, plural, meaning many people, but to your seed, meaning one person, who is Christ. So God says to Sarah, I'm going to bring Jesus Christ to the world through you. And you remember what Sarah did? She laughed. And I just wonder if there are any CIU students who might be laughing this week. Oh no, world missions again. Or who might be laughing because you're saying, yeah, I'm all for world missions, but I'm just not sure I'm the kind of person that could do that. I mean, I'm just not sure I could leave my home and go to a far off place and learn another language, and I'm just not sure I could do that. Well, that was Sarah's problem. She said, you know, we're talking about physical situation here where she's past the point of having children. And she laughs. And by the way, if you study the story carefully, she didn't laugh out loud. She snickered in the tent, you know. So it wasn't like, ah, oh, it was, yeah, oh, no. So maybe that's, you know, you're nobody's laughing out loud here, but maybe just in your seat, you're like, not me. No, no. Well, that was Sarah. That was Sarah. And look what the Lord said to her. Here's what the Lord said. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Now watch, that was said to her in terms, in the context of world evangelization. Bringing Jesus Christ through you, all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed. Is anything too hard for the Lord? I can do this through you, old dried up Sarah. Somebody doesn't feel like you've got the capacity. I can do it. I can do it. Second example, Mary, Luke chapter 1. You remember? The Lord said, through the angel to her, I'm going to bring Jesus to the world through you. And you remember what Mary said? She said, how can this thing be? And here's what the angel said. For nothing is impossible with God. So maybe you're here this morning and you feel like Mary. And you're saying, how would this be? How could God ever use me to make an impact on the nations? And the answer is, by believing what he says in his word, and by obeying what he says in his word. Look what it says about Sarah, Hebrews 11:11. By faith, even Sarah was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. Look what the Bible says about Mary. It says, this is Elizabeth speaking to Mary when Mary went to see her. And she says, blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. And what was Mary's response? Here was Mary's response. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said. All right, now let's go back to our verse. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask for. So here's my point this morning as we start World Christian Week. God chose you so that through you, he might bring Jesus Christ to the world. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? And this is what I hope our response is. I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. Would you be willing to pray that prayer this morning? Maybe as a prayer, as a giver, a goer, a sender, a mobilizer, but you've seen and understood God's worldwide plan of redemption and missions, and that and you want to do your part by believing that he can and will use you, and by obeying his command to take the gospel to the whole world, however he may want to use you to do that. I'm going to pray, and then the minute I finish praying, if you can't stay and pray with us, just I'd ask you to quickly move out, maybe out the back, and anybody that wants to stay and pray, 10 minutes is all we're going to do, and maybe even shorter than that. You'll still be able to get to lunch, but we're going to have a time every day right after chapel just to process, talk together, pray together down here in the front. We've asked faculty and staff to join us down here, and I'll explain that to you after I pray and say amen. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the one thing the Bible's talking about, redemption, missions. And we thank you that this is your work, not ours, it's yours. and that we have the privilege of being involved in what you from eternity have planned for this lost world. I pray that this week you would just work in our hearts, and that at the end of this week we would see a map that is increasingly green. And not just to be able to color in a map, but because it represents people who are right now waiting to hear about Jesus. And I pray that you will raise up people from CIU to do whatever they can to see that change. So we thank you for your word. We thank you for the clear teaching of the Old and the New Testament. And we thank you that you've chosen us so that through us, you can bring Christ to the world. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you were blessed by this message. Additional audio messages and learning resources are available at www.ciu.edu/bookstore or call 803-807-5263. Messages are also available by podcast at iTunes. CIU is a regionally accredited biblical university offering undergraduate and graduate degree programs. Our purpose is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for letting us minister to you today.